Hi, and welcome to Let's Look. My name's Emily Van Meter, and today I'll be interviewing Sam Jaffe to find out more about her artistic practice. Enjoy!
So just to begin, if you could just say, you know, who you are and a little bit about your practice.
Sure. So I'm Sam Jaffe. I am an artist. I live in Chicago. I do a bunch of different types of work, mainly sort of fiber-based painting-ish kinds of objects lately, but I also do more traditional painting, sculpture, I do some fashion, and apparel design, and I'm sort of like an all-around creative person. I like find creativity in every part of my life, so I would say I don't necessarily limit my expression to just my art practice. I sort of see everything I do as kind of an extension of my studio. Yeah, I think that's a good little intro.
Yeah. So what are some overarching themes that carry throughout your work?
I would say that most of the content of my work comes out in the process through which I make it. That's kind of like where I get really interested. So oftentimes, like, I start with materials that already exist in the world. So most of the materials I use are like vintage or sustainably sourced in some way. So usually that's like thrifting or like offcasts of industry or things that I find already in the world. And then I sort of think about how I could potentially collaborate with those materials. So I feel like in my studio practice, I'm never starting from scratch. I'm always sort of like taking things that are there and then like figuring out, okay, like what do I do with these things? I feel like if I were to like stare at a blank canvas or something, my mind would go totally blank. So I always have to kind of start with something. And then I get really into figuring out kind of like what I want to do with my hands. So I feel like my studio practice is like, it's a physical activity. It's something that I do with my body. So thinking about how I can like place different things together, combine different materials. I get really into sort of like being as perfectionistic as possible with my work. So I'm sort of like really attracted to processes that kind of lend themselves to that. So I really like sewing and knitting and painting, because all of those, like, they kind of allow for this very extended, slow unfolding process, because I can kind of sit there forever. It's like, I feel like everyone has the one superpower in their life, and mine is that I'm really patient. So I like to just sort of like almost test myself to see like how crazy I can be with a certain process or material. And then I get a lot of joy out of creating, I guess, like problems for myself. So like, you know, if I'm trying to make something that I want to fit into a square, but I have lots of different weird shaped pieces, it's sort of like putting a puzzle together and trying to figure out how I can make everything kind of work harmoniously together. And I like when there's some element of risk in what I'm doing, or like unpredictability in like either the materials or the form. And I feel like that's really where my content kind of comes from. It's like all about this like practice of making. So, you know, some of the things that I think that can point to are like, issues of like labor. I think a lot of people think a lot about like women's work in particular when they look at a lot of the things that I do, since a lot of the materials I use are traditionally associated with women, you know, fiber knitting, domestic objects, things like that. So I think there's like some connection there to, I guess, like gender or, you know, women's history or something like that. I think that another thing that I'm really interested in sort of perennially is form that is complicated. So I like to make things that like kind of activate my eye endlessly, like things where I can just sort of keep looking and looking and looking and there's no resting place. So like when I was in school, one of the biggest critiques I would get on my work is like, oh my God, you need to have like a place for the eye to rest, you know, like this is all too much. And I'm just like, I'm not interested. Like that's like kind of not what I do. So yeah, like that kind of visual experience is also something that seems to be kind of always interesting to me and kind of carry over into like all of the different kinds of work that I do. And I think that a big part of that is like, I like to kind of have something to look at as I'm working. So I like that my vision is kind of activated in the same way that my hands are when I'm working on something.
Yeah, yeah. So you said that you work in like all these different amazing mediums. Do you have a favorite and why?
You know, I'm going to say painting only because I have 2 degrees in painting. I work in a painting department. I think about painting all day long and I help my students with their painting work. And I feel like it was sort of my first love when it came to art making. It's something that I think most artists start off with, drawing and painting. So I will say that I think that the principles that I learned while learning how to paint are the things that carry over into every other kind of work that I do. So I see it as sort of a foundational form. Yeah. And I think most painters would agree. I mean, like, there is something about it that, you know, it's sort of, it encapsulates a lot of the ideas that every other form is also sort of concerned with. Mm-hmm. So I think, and I just love it. I mean, I love painting history. I love thinking about, you know, not just the kinds of paintings that we see in museums, but like the kinds of things that people do at home. Like, I'm interested in like what people make in their garages and, you know, sort of like crafting and all kinds of creative expression. So when I say painting, I don't just mean like, you know, Napoleon on a horse and like a gold frame in the museum. Like, that is one kind of painting, but I think as a material, it's a beautiful material that lends itself to all kinds of creative expression. And also, I like that it's something that's used a lot in industry. Like, it's, you know, like almost everyone in the world has had an experience like painting their walls, right? I mean, it is a material that we use quite a bit in everyday life. So I do think that there is something about it that feels kind of, I don't know, I guess, accessible in some ways. And I don't, you know, it's a little complicated because I don't think that museums are always accessible or that, you know, classical art training is always accessible or anything like that. But just in its barest form, I do think it's something that most people can have access to.
Yeah, definitely. As a painter, I totally agree. So do you have a specific audience that you're aiming to reach with your work?
No, I think, you know, for better or for worse, I definitely am making work for myself and for my, you know, for my own amusement. I started off when I was a kid, you know, using art as kind of like my escape, and it still kind of serves that function for me. And I think a lot of artists, I mean, since I teach in an art school, like I have lots of conversations with my students, like, how did you start making art? And like 99%, it's like, I was alone in my room. And I needed something to do. And, you know, like, it's kind of what allowed me to, like, have some, I don't know, feeling of accomplishment in my alone time or something like that. So it's definitely not something that I see as sort of like a forward-facing practice that much. I mean, I am totally in awe and flattered when people are excited about what I do and want to come to one of my shows or anything like that. Like, that's great. I'm not saying that that's not, you know, cool to me, but I don't really think much about that when I'm actually working. And I don't have a ton of interest in like the larger art world. I think like having a small art community is much more important to me, like having friends that are artists and having my students and having like, you know, sort of one-on-one conversations about what it's like to be a maker. Like, that's what's most interesting to me.
Yeah, definitely. So are you originally from Chicago or did you move to the area?
So I grew up in Milwaukee, which is very close to Chicago. It's about an hour and a half away, but I moved around a little bit in between, but I've been in Chicago since 2005, so quite a long time.
Yeah,
it's definitely like my home at this point.
Yeah, for yeah. Sure. What drew you there?
I moved here with an ex-boyfriend. That's probably not an exciting answer. But yeah, I came for love at a certain point and, you know, I stayed. So.
Yeah. Do you feel that being within the city plays any part within your practice?
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, I'm kind of a person that's like the same everywhere that I go. I there are some people who I think engage very much with like the city and community around them. I'm not quite sure that I'm exactly that kind of person, but I also think that there's no way that things don't kind of rub off on you as you're existing in life. So I think it's kind of hard to say exactly how, but I'm sure that there are ways that living here has kind of pushed me in one direction or another. I mean, I will say having like a long, cold winter is really good for a studio practice. Like it just makes you stay inside. So I think that that is one thing that I wouldn't say enjoy it, but it is something that's really particular to being a kind of like Midwestern artist, is that we have just this like really long period of kind of hibernation. And I think it's actually good for your practice to just have kind of an uninterrupted time indoors. And you're not sort of distracted by, you know, the beauty of the summer, right? Like that.
Yeah. So you mentioned like a tight knit, smaller art community and how that's really important to you. Could you go into detail about like what that kind of looks like for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I work in a warehouse on the west side of Chicago, which there's a lot of artists that kind of work near where I am. So it's a nice little, I mean, even if you're not sort of in direct communication with everyone all the time, it's nice to know that there are like little cubicles of people making things kind of all around you. And then I think being involved with the school is really helpful, just because it kind of constantly keeps me in conversation with like the next generation of creative people. So that's always really exciting. I feel like it keeps me very much on the pulse of like the kind of trends and interests that people have. And I think I've been doing it long enough now that it's, you know, I can start to notice like patterns and, you know, things that kind of repeat themselves over time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a great way to just kind of keep yourself interested and involved all the time with just a creative community. And I have amazing students. So I love just like getting to see what they're working on, mm-hmm. and problem solving with them. And teaching really helps me be a better artist myself. Because if you think about it, you're practicing all the time solving other people's creative problems. By the time you get into your studio, like you're very practiced and it's really much easier to kind of answer those questions for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you can sort of almost put yourself in a, you know, in a kind of imaginary critique in your own brain. So that's really useful. And then I think it's also great to have friends that are artists, because I think, and maybe this is like not totally a fair generalization, but from my standpoint, it seems like, you know, the larger art world can be quite competitive. And I think it can really sort of over time erode an artist's sense of self and sort of being confident in the direction that they've chosen for themselves. So I think having like lots of friends that are artistic that are also kind of trying to do the same thing as you are, as long as everyone is supportive and excited about each other's work, I think it can be really, I guess sort of just more of a, I guess like a positive kind of push, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like not a competitive push, but more like, oh, we're all doing this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was being an art educator a part of your original plan?
Absolutely not. I have a horrible anxiety about speaking in front of groups. It's like I hate public speaking, so it was definitely never something that I thought I would do. But I think what I've kind of discovered is that I can make teaching kind of work to my strengths. And I actually don't have to speak to the entire group very often if I don't want to. So I kind of have figured out ways to make teaching work for my personality and, you know, the kinds of strengths and weaknesses that I have in myself. I think that like when I envision what it would be like to teach, it's like you stand at a podium and like speak for 3 hours and like that sounds awful. So I don't do that. I do teach one seminar class that's like kind of a professional practice class that has, I would say, like it's more on the lecture side, but even that class like is very sort of discussion. I try to make it as discussion based as possible. So no, it's definitely not something I thought I would do, but it's something I've really learned to enjoy over the years. I think it's a great, you know, in terms of like the flexibility of the schedule and, you know, being able to think and talk about something that you care about all day. It's a really good, I think, sort of add-on to having an artistic career. And also like, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off of your like your sort of professional life, because you can get a paycheck from teaching and you don't necessarily have to like live off of your work. So I think it's a nice way to kind of keep making your work, but not having to like totally rely on it to live, because I don't think I would ever be able to or really want to do that. I think it's like a good way to kill your work. If you're having to like always produce something that someone else wants to buy, I feel like it just in my mind would sort of lead you towards like maybe stuff that's like much more commercial or like accessible than might actually be in your like heart and mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now? Do you have a specific project?
I'm working on sort of continuing work on this like larger series of, I guess they're sort of fibery based wall pieces, and they're made of a lot of tiny little laser cut pieces of wood that are reupholstered with knit material that I design and knit and then sort of sewn back together. So I'm working on one right now. Do you want to? Yeah. I'm actually like sewing under the table, but so if you can see, so this piece, this is made out of all of these like tiny little chunks. Yeah. I don't know if you can tell from the image.
I can see.
Yeah. So I make like hundreds of those, and then I kind of like sew them all back together. And so it's kind of like, what I love about this process is it kind of comes in these chunks. Like the first thing I do is I make all of the fabric. That takes me like several days. I like knit all of it. Once I have all the fabric, I like cut it into all these little pieces, and then I like cover all of the wood with the pieces. And then the best part is when you actually get to kind of assemble all of them. So it's kind of like you put all of this labor in, and then you get this like really amazing thing at the end where you're like, oh my God, it's actually coming together. And then like the whole piece kind of gets built. I really like that process because it's got this like kind of, I don't know what the word is, like delayed gratification kind of thing. So yeah. So I'm working on more of these. I've got a few in the works right now. I'm trying to scale up my work a little bit. The last show that I had was mostly pieces that were, I think, around like the 24-30 inch range, which for me, that's a lot of labor that can go into something that's that big. Mm. So I've been kind of challenging myself to try to work a little bit bigger. Although what's really hard about it is that with my work, it takes so long to make everything that like, that can represent months and months, and you only get one piece out of it. And so there's always this kind of balance about like, okay, what do I want to do? And like, what do I actually want? What do I have time for?
Yeah.
You know, before the next exhibition or whatever I have going on. So.
Yeah. So, was there a moment in your life where you decided like that you wanted to pursue art?
Yeah. I mean, so it's definitely something I did a lot as a kid, as I mentioned. But I never had like, you know, like some people have like this amazing high school art teacher or something that's like the person who kind of like, I don't know, inspires them to kid. Like, I didn't have anyone like that exactly. I think for me, you know, I was kind of burnt out on regular school when I was, you know, my last couple years of high school. I think I got a little bit just kind of overwhelmed with academics. And I sort of felt like, I'm not sure I want to go to regular college, like, but it's not like I want to stop my education, you know? So I was kind of in this like moment of trying to figure out what my next steps were going to be. And I wanted to find something that would be really sustainable for myself, because I was like, there's just something about some of these other subjects that I'm studying that like, I just don't feel like I could do it for that long, whereas art making is something I feel like I could literally just sit and do forever. So I think it was sort of like in that time period when I was sort of like choosing a path for myself. And one of the kind of frustrating things about art school is like you don't have a lot of other options. Like once you are in an art program, like that's what you're doing. And so it's a pretty big choice to make at a pretty young age for most people, I think. But, you know, for me, I think it was the right decision. I also found that one thing I love about art making is that it allows you to study almost anything else. So through your work, you know, you can start to research literally anything. And so it is a way of sort of like just opening your possibilities rather than kind of closing them off, if you can think about it in that way. So I think that that's kind of where I sort of like, I think made that decision, although it's definitely something that has always been like a big part of my life. I have mm-hmm. like, you know, when I was a kid, I was always kind of like taking stuff apart in my parents' house and, you know, kind of learning how to sew. Like there was an old sewing machine in the basement that I figured out how to use. So I've always been kind of like an indoor kid and like a tinkerer, like someone who's just kind of like, you can kind of put any objects in front of me and I'll be excited and interested in them. And so I think in some ways it's just kind of who I am, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like I can't really, I'm not sure I can pinpoint like a moment, but like, yeah, just definitely something I've always been good at and excited about. And like, you know, it's something I feel like I could keep doing. And I think too, and sorry if I'm rambling a little bit on this question, but I think one of the things that also made me feel sort of confident in my choice was that I remember when I was in college and even in graduate school, like I had a lot of friends who like had these major questions about like, oh my God, did I choose the right thing? And I never had to ask myself that. I always felt like, you know, I'm on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you see yourself in the work that you make at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think we are all sort of reflected in our work in a lot of ways. I think that like one of the things that my work allows me to do is to actually indulge in some of the traits that are not that positive about myself. Like, one of the things that I really struggle with is like perfectionism, like in my everyday life. And I like when things don't go my way, like that's something that like kind of makes me really anxious. But in my art practice, like I get to be a complete control freak. Like I get to be as perfectionistic as I want. Everything is within my domain. I get to call all of the shots. I don't have anyone that works for me. It's all kind of me. And there's something about that level of like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say narcissism, but it's like this like extreme control or something, like, where like you get to kind of be the master that I feel like, yeah, so I feel like it lets me kind of indulge in that so that in my regular life, I can actually kind of let some of that go. You know, mm-hmm. it's like the studio is the place where I'm the crazy perfectionist and then I don't have to be that way around like people I care about.
So, yeah, for sure. So if you had any advice for a younger version of yourself or young women artists working today, what would that be?
I would say see yourself as the full artist that you are and not as someone who is like practicing or like an amateur. Like go for the actual work that you want to make when you want to make it and don't sell yourself short, because I think a lot of times, especially in school, you're like, oh, well, this is like a study for a thing that's going to happen later. Like you don't have to make the study, you just make the real thing. But I think that would be my biggest advice, is like not to like sell yourself short about what you can do.
Yeah. All right, well, those are all the questions that I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Let's Look.